Jordan Reed did not practice, concussion. Trent Williams did not practice, a knee. Darryl Young, hamstring was limited. And E.J. Beggars was full practice. He had a knee contusion.
Mike, what was your reaction when London told you that he wanted to retire, and what do you think his legacy to this organization and to football is going to be?
Well, like I've said before, I've never been around a guy quite like London. The way he prepares for every game is like he's preparing for a Super Bowl. His leadership is unquestioned. You know, when I came in here, everybody had the utmost respect for him, both on and off the football field. And so to have a guy like that in your organization makes it so much easier for a coach because, you know, the young guys learn the right way to do things right from the start. And so, he's been very, very special to this organization. He's experienced a lot with different people, different players, different coaches. So it's going to be tough to lose a guy like that, but hopefully he can end it on the right note with a good win against Dallas.
Did you expect this news
from him? I really didn't know if he was going to do that or not. I wasn't expecting it, no, but he did come in to me and say something to me.
I don't know if you heard it, but he had a very adamant thing of support for you. What does that mean to you to have him say what he did about you?
Well, I didn't actually hear what he said, but Tony was saying he said some nice things. And I think it's the ultimate compliment you can have. You know, people that you respect, if they say something nice, you respect the person. So, you know, in coaching, you know, you're coaching with relationships with players. You want to make sure that they feel good about who they're playing for. So coming from London, that's extra special.
Mike, you spoke a little bit about what has allowed London to have success late in his career, age 37, 38. He said every player wants to have a legacy, not just from your time coaching him, but playing against him. What do you think London Fletcher's legacy is?
Well, I know from my perspective, you know, I've been around a lot of great players. And when I say this, that I've never been around someone that prepares like he does. And that's in a lot, because I've been around a lot of great players. And it's the biggest compliment I can give somebody, that every time he comes to work, that everybody knows that he's going to prepare like it's a Super Bowl. And that is hard to do, especially at the position that he plays. Because mentally and physically, it's draining. And for him to have that mindset for as long as he has and to not miss a game speaks volumes of who he is.
He seems also, coaches who have come in here seem to have a different appreciation for him after having coached him than before they got here. What was your perception of him before you got here, and did it surprise you the depths to maybe you saw some things with him?
Well, I think it's so hard to even pretend to know somebody when you don't coach them. You know, people can give, you know, a lot of tributes to people, but until you see a guy work day in, day out, through the good times, through the bad times, it's really hard to put into perspective. But, you know, being in the NFL as many years as I've been in, you know, I've been around a lot of great players. And to give him that type of compliment is not easy for me to do, but, you know, he's earned it because that's the way he handles himself.
Mike, I know the Jordan Reed situation's day-to-day with the evaluations. At what point, though, do you, with a concussion that's lingered this long, do you say the juice isn't worth the squeeze? Midway through week 16, you just say, you know what, let's just shut him down.
Well, I think we've talked about it a little bit in detail before. You know, as we talk to the doctors, there's the experts in this area that, you know, they've seen people in soccer go, you know, 2, 3, 4 months. Then one day they get tested each day and they're fine. Sometimes it's 3 weeks. And so we just go with their recommendation. Hey, what's in the best interest of the, you know, Jordan Reed? And, you know, they've seen a lot of specialists. They'll see another guy tomorrow, another doctor. We're going to do what we can to make sure that, you know, he's looked at carefully. And when the doctors say that he's ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
Then there'll be independent neurologists tomorrow outside of the
team? Yes, it'll be outside. We've had him see a few specialists already. Just get differences of opinion, different people that experts in that area. Just trying to get our cross-checks in.
Mike, can you talk about the dynamic of having Robert, when he was drafted, lockered next to London, and how you've seen that influence rub off, and also this guy being a Hall of Fame caliber player?
Well, you know, number one, just you know, just to be around him, you get a great feel. To have your locker next to him, I think is, you know, the reason you do that is you want to give him an idea what it takes to be a pro and how he does prepare, how he does handle himself, not only on the field but off the field. And for any young player coming in, regardless, you know, their status, it's a great learning experience for him. Oh, I don't think there's any question about him being a Hall of Fame caliber player. I think he's definitely a Hall of Fame caliber player. You know, his work, you know, speaks for itself. And, you know, to do what he's done and not miss games along the way, be with different organizations and lead those organizations wherever he's been, speaks volumes.
Mike, a lot of what you've talked about is leadership, but from a football perspective, yeah, I'm sure you faced him a number of times. Now you've watched him play 4 years worth of games up close. What impresses you most about him as a football player? Forget the leadership or the psychological piece, just the physical part of playing the position.
He knows what's going to happen. The great ones know what's going to happen before it happens. And when you prepare yourself like he does, the reason why he's able to make the plays he does is because of mental preparation and his ability to go out there and play physical football. He likes to hit. You know, it's, to me, it's a unique, I don't want to say talent, but for the body to be able to take the hits that he's taken over his career and not miss games is kind of unheard of. Even when I saw him hurt his ankle, you know, a couple weeks ago, I said, there's no way that he'll be able to play next week. I mean, that looked like it was, you know, 2-3 week injury. He's practicing on Wednesday. You know, that's that's quite unusual.
Mike, I'm assuming that Robert is running the scout team. So I guess my first question is, how is he at being Tony Romo? And can you see from the outside where this is all so surreal when you think of where Robert was 2 years ago, obviously last year with you guys, and now?
No, I think we've went into detail why he's there, because we think it's in the best interest of the organization, the best interest of him. Now what he's going to do is practice just like he's a starter on offense. There's no difference, even if you're on the scout team. You're looking at defenses, you're running plays, very similar to what we do. And he's taking advantage of every opportunity.
Mike, there was another story yesterday. As you said, there would be one every day. Just your reaction. Apparently, Robert brushed off Matt LaFleur one time recently, and also that his dad is campaigning for Art Briles to replace you.
If you want me to comment to every one of those, I mean, it's crazy. It's ludicrous. I told you something's going to come out every day. It's just part of it to even, you know, write that kind of stuff. First of all, the first one I understand, or at least somebody told me, that he was on the sideline. He's in a press box. That's one. So, I mean, these things come out time after time, and I'm not surprised about it.
Mike, you said you thought with this ankle injury there was you said with London with this ankle injury you thought there was no chance he would play with that one. Do you remember off the top of your head how many times you've thought that of him over the last couple of years and it turned out not to be true?
Well, it's really hard to say because normally you're not up close to see an ankle like that. But it was so awkward and how he got hit. Now, I said, there's no way. I said, I just saw something happen that hasn't happened in a lot of years, that this is going to knock him out of the game. And then he comes Wednesday, and he's walking through. He's walking through just like he's going to play. And I thought for sure if he did have a chance to play, he couldn't practice through the week. So, you know, he's a veteran. He didn't have to play. He didn't have to practice. But he wanted to set an example for the young guys that this is how you handle yourself as a pro. Not only am I going to get treatment to get well, but I'm going to set the stage, and this is why you practice. What's in the best interest of your football team.
Hey, Mike, you get asked all the time about your relationship with Robert, and you don't like talking about the off-the-field stuff. From a player-coach standpoint, how coachable is he? How receptive to learning and coaching has Robert been?
Well, I think, you know, part of the growth of any football player is to be a pro player. And like I said about London, what's the best thing for a young guy to go through? And that's to be coached, learn how to practice as a pro, because it's so totally different than it is in college. You know, I coached in college for 10 years. It was a great learning experience for me. But the difference between college and pro level with these players is night and day. So all of it is a learning experience. Some guys are more in tune than other guys. But it's not a negative. It's just, hey, this is a learning experience guys go through. And to be next to a guy like London Fletcher is the ultimate experience for a young football player.
Mike, we talked to Kurt about the opportunity with starting the final three games this season and maybe the pressure that goes into that, knowing that you have three games to put as much good film out there as you can. Is there a fine balance, I guess, between having too much pressure on this and knowing that one day down the road you will get another opportunity?
I think pressure is good. There's nothing wrong with pressure because sooner or later you're going to get that pressure. Some people embrace it. Other people run from it. I think Kirk is a guy that embraces it. And the only way you feel good about embracing pressure is you have to be prepared. And I think Kirk does feel like he's prepared. But you still got to go out there and do it on game day. A lot of pressure is involved, as you just talked about, or we just talked about. But to me, that's what defines quarterbacks, how they handle the pressure.
Has Robert grown in his ability to, as we were talking about learning all that, has he grown in that ability in the time that he's been here? And in terms of, you know, have you seen him change and maybe, you know, develop into that sort of pro that you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I think, you know, that's what learning is taking every situation and learning from it and knowing in the back of your mind that, hey, I might have made a mistake here or there. It might maybe on the field or off, but this is the way I can become a better pro. I learned by my experiences. You know, some will be positive, some will be negative, but the great ones learn from their mistakes.
London said his best advice for Robert after the season is to kind of take a step back and exhale a little bit and breathe. Do you think Robert's the kind of person who may take some time to breathe and kind of think about the season, or do you feel like he's the kind of person that wants to get right into looking at film and kind of trying to get better?
Well, I think it's always good for a week or two to get away from it, you know, with your family, different things that you don't get a chance to do during the season. But I think ultimately what you want to do or what your players to do is to be the best at what they do. And if you want to be the best at what you do, you've got to do it year-round. You got to come back in. You got to look at film. You got to things that you did well your first year, the things you did well your second year, the things you did poorly, and hit it hard. You got to hit that film. You got to hit the practice field, get the timing with your receivers. There's only one way you get good in the National Football League is if you want to be the best at what you do, and it takes a lot of time.
Coach, my apologies if you've already answered this question, but how do you go into Dallas Week, which is so huge in this area, with all the cacophony of noise that's going on around, with all the rumors and leaks and so on and so forth? How do you? What's your mindset going into Dallas Week?
Well, it's easy for me. I think it's easy for the team because this is Dallas Week. We get a chance to play a football team that's playing for a playoff spot. And people don't think we're playing for anything, and they get a chance to see what we're made of and how we react when a team has got a chance to be in the playoffs and a team that doesn't have a chance. It talks about our character and what our football team's all about.
So do you say the guys ignore all that outside noise?
Well, you have to ask the players. I don't think there's as much noise as you think there is. I think our players are really concentrating on their job. They know their jobs are determined if they play well. And a lot of times that we'll look at, or I've looked at in the past, the last two or three games of different teams to see how people do play when they're not in a playoff hunt. It's easy to see when they're playing for a playoff spot, you're usually getting everybody's best shot. But maybe when you're not in a playoff hunt, exactly what is this character, what's the character of this kid all about? And you'll see it when people aren't playing for playoff spots, exactly what they're made of.
Do you relish being potentially being the spoiler for Dallas?
No, I don't relish being... I always relish being in the playoff hunt. You know, look forward to not being in the hunt.
Coach, if there was someone that was maybe living under a rock right now who has missed this entire season and wanted to know right now, what's going on with the Redskins? How would you describe what's going on here right now?
Well, you can't. I mean, if you want to really know, you got to go back and research the whole year. You got to go through games 1 through 16. There's no quick way of explaining that. So that's what I tell them. I go work at it.